chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I'm here with my guest host today, Susan Rita from chapelboro.com. And Susan and I are lucky enough to have around the table with us today, Phil Campbell. Now, you have been around this area a long time. People may know you as Phil Flying Burrito Campbell.
Phil.
What?
Flying Phil.
Flying Phil? Is that what they called you?
Sometimes, among other things.
But nowadays, you've... things you can't say on the air, right?
Yeah. Some you could.
Nowadays, you're in a completely different life cycle. I mean, you're bringing fish in. You have a lookout seafood, right?
We took the name from the Cape Lookout Lighthouse there on the Core Sound in North Carolina, close to Beaufort Inlet, close to Beaufort. And I live in a small community called Marshallburg that is pretty much right across from the lighthouse on the mainland right behind Harker's Island.
Okay. So, old Chapel Hillian, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I'm not talking about you being old, but...
Well, I've literally been here 40 years.
So, Flying Burrito has been around here for... It's got a real history to it, doesn't it?
1986, I believe, when we opened our doors there. And originally, the first Flying Burrito, the original Flying Burrito, was at the Durham Athletic Ballpark, where the Durham Bulls played. And Miles Wolf, the guy that owned it, came to me and, actually, Rob DeLuca, Zima, his manager, came to us and had a little restaurant in Chapel Hill called Magdalena's. And it was a Mexican restaurant down on West Franklin Street across from the old newspaper office.
I don't even remember that. I must have been gone. What year was that?
82, 83.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I got involved with them, and we built a little burrito stand there. I believe the first burrito stand in organized baseball in the United States. But anyway, we had that going, and... We used to sell burritos there, and we'd have them in trays along with the drinks. And it was a small little building on the first baseline outside of the main park. And the foul balls used to come over and hit the top of it, and it sounded like a bomb going off in there. So there were times when I was holding those trays, and that ball would hit, and I would startle me, and I'd throw up the tray, and the burritos would fly all over, and the beer flew all over some people. And my wife is in there, and she goes, if we ever start a restaurant, we're going to call it the Flying Burrito.
Wonderful.
What a great story.
I don't think I
knew that. Did you know that?
No.
Not many people do.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
That is a good story. So when did you move into your own building?
86, right over there on Airport Road, or mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Boulevard now.
Weren't y'all up front? I mean...
No, we were on one side. It was, it had been a place called Jonas's. We're in the corner there. And then we actually shared rent with, there was a pool hall next to us owned by Joanne Morgan, the Morgans had that. And we shared that and shared the bathroom. And eventually they went out of business and they came to me to see if I wanted to take over that spot. So I did. And so we expanded on to the other side. And that would have been 1988 when we moved over there.
So you're in the same place that you always were.
Yeah.
Why do I keep thinking they were up where that Chinese restaurant is? Mm-mm. I don't know, brain dead.
No. That when we first started there, I think it was already a Chinese place. Had been a sandwich place before that. I remember one as a Shell station, but no, we weren't up there.
So did you, I mean, were your burritos just that good?
Well, of course. I think they're called the world famous Flying Burrito for nothing.
Well, I would have to agree with that. I mean, where did you get the recipe?
Oh,
you can't tell.
No.
If he told you.
It's not that. It's just that I always liked making beans and making burritos. And there was times of my life when I didn't have a lot of money, and you could use beans and rice and make good meals. I mean, we had the Bull City burrito. Of course, we invented that, and that came about when I was living in New Orleans, and you could go out and buy a pound of pintos then for I think was 19 cents, and you could boil the pintos, and then you get four cans of sauerkraut for $1, and flour tortillas weren't much, and you use Crystal hot sauce. So the original Bull City was just sauerkraut and beans and Crystal hot sauce. Sometimes we'd chop a little onions or something in it, and that's what we made. And then after that, we decided, you know, we'd grill some sausage and all and put on there. When we were there, it was a little andouille or something. But then, you know, sort of switched into the Polish sausage. So that burrito pretty much came out of, economic necessity, I guess. And so, I mean, the beans, so when you're living on beans and you're living, you know, on that base sort of food, you can use a little bit of money to make them just a little bit better.
Right.
And found out that the food was real satisfying. And, I mean, to this day, there's always some sort of pot of beans going on around my house. I love it.
So what would be your favorite burrito right now, right today? Does it change often?
Changes. Yeah, sure it does. But I tell you, I think if I had to pick one, I always liked, this was later on after I'd had the burrito for a while and I'd been spending some time down in the Yucatan, and they always had black beans around and they used sweet potatoes all the time. And, of course, I'm a lover of sweet potatoes. You know, they're from, you know, North Carolina produces as much or more than anybody. And so they were always like, you know, on the side, like the side dish, you know, sweet potatoes and black beans. So I decided to roll them up into a burrito when I came back one time and made it. And I called it a black bean and sweet potato burrito. And one of the cooks, I think it was a guy named Roger, I came back. I'd been gone at the coast. I came back, and they had the Flying Mayan on the recipe or on the menu. And I went, what is this? And he goes, it sounds better than sweet potatoes and black bean, Phil. And I said, I think I'm glad I thought of that.
Well, keep hold of those thoughts, because we're going to have to go to break here in a second. And I want us to talk about how you segued from burritos and went into seafood and what you're doing with that now. And I mean, obviously you've moved to the coast and but still drive regularly. Do you deliver to Chapel Hill?
Yes, I'm the one man show right now. I'm driving back and forth. I have a partner that helps me out a good bit too. But as far as transportation right now, it's just me.
Well, we're glad that you took time out of your trips up from the beach to stop and spend a little time on Side Dish. We are going to have to go to break. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I am here with my guest today, Phil Campbell from Lookout Seafood. And Susan Rita had to scoot out on us. She had to be somewhere. So, Phil, it's just you and me.
I think we can make it.
I think we can make it, too. Before we went to break, you were giving us a little bit of history about Flying Burrito. And when you were saying that you sold the burrito, 4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Okay. And so what prompted that? Just getting out of the... You wanted to leave Chapel Hill? You wanted to move? What was the reasoning?
Well, there was a combination of things. And one of them was that, you know, I was getting to the age of I wanted to do something. I'd been in there for 21 years. Mm-hmm. And I was figuring if I wanted to do something else, it was about time to get started. And I'd had a house there in Marshallburg for, you know, for 15 years. And I always loved being there. And so I decided that, you know, maybe it's time to go ahead and move down there and just see what I can make of it.
Mm-hmm.
and got down there. And I've always, we always had a lot of seafood in the restaurant, and I've always liked to fish ever since I was a little kid, and I've always loved eating fish. So I have decided to try to start a little seafood business. My buddy David and I, David Vernon, he said he'd like to try to start another business, and so we just put a little plan together and got going.
So basically, you don't go out and fish yourself. You go and buy from the fishermen that are there. What's the, how's that work?
Well, the majority of the time I'm buying it. There's a lot of local seafood, old seafood houses around there. I go up around Cedar Island and Atlantic and Sea Level and some in Beaufort and Swansboro and places. And I have a few fishermen. I have a license that I can buy directly from the boat to me if I want. And I do that also. But, about most of the time, I would say, I buy a lot from the local seafood houses around there.
And you're up here very regularly. You sell at three locations.
Yep. We have the farmer's market at Southern Village from 3:30 to 6:30 every Thursday. And then I'm out at Calvander. Right there at the crossroads of Old 86 and on one side Homestead, another side Dairyland, on the way out to the ice cream place.
Yep.
A lot of people go. And then on.
That's 1 to 6 on Fridays, right?
That's 1 to 6 on Fridays. And then on Saturday, 10 to 2 in Pittsburgh at the Southern States feed store right off 64 after you go around the circle in Pittsburgh there with Dallas and his daughter Melinda, and it's going along real well there. It's a nice place.
So if people want to buy from you, they can go to any of these locations, and you said they can also call you.
Yes.
Right? And we're going to give it. Your number is 252-241-2799.
That'll work.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I could be saying I'm going to have a big dinner party and I want to buy direct from you. I can do that?
Of course.
Okay. That works. I know where to get my shrimp now.
I have some beautiful shrimp. I've got a. It's been, being there. I think it's one of the things that I offer is the fact that I'm there, that I know, the pace of what's happening with the fish. I have, like, for instance, today I picked up. The shrimper got done last night, so we got it early in the morning last night, and it was in my truck on ice, and it's here now, so it's less than 24 hours old.
Okay.
And I get to physically go look, touch, and look at all the seafood before it ever gets to, gets into my coolers and brought here. And that's my personal calling card. The quality's always going to be there. And, it's like we call ourselves Lookout Seafood, and our little saying is, we look out for you. And
We always did that.
We did that in the restaurant, too. We always tried to buy good, fresh fish and produce, and we shopped for our customers. And over the years, when you're someplace 21 years, people begin to realize that, and they begin to realize that the quality and that quality assurance is there, and it it's a good bond between the store and the customer.
Well, it is, and I think the first time I ate there, I had a seafood dish, and it was wonderful, and it wasn't. I want to say it might have been at your place that I had my very first fish taco. Would that make sense?
Probably. I'm not saying we did the first ones around here, but it wouldn't
surprise
me. Well,
the first one I had.
And I think we were doing it before they were what
popular.
You call vogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was just something that,
what kind of fish did you use in a fish taco?
Well, that all depended. But I remember a lot of times I like to use the black tip shark. We used to use that, and we would grill it or fry it, and it had a nice consistency. The texture was right, and so I always thought they made really good tacos. We used to use the triggerfish for the fajitas, and we'd marinate that a little and put a little of the chili paste and things on it, and then grill it, and then had it in flour tortillas, but regular corn tortilla tacos and all. I think the black tip was one of my favorites to use in it.
You don't miss owning a restaurant, do you?
Yeah, sure I do.
Have you thought about doing it again?
No, I haven't thought about that.
You don't miss it that much.
I don't miss it that much, no. And I deliver to it. I've got a lot of good restaurants, and I'm really impressed with these, I call them kids, but they're in their late 20s, 30s, and that are working as chefs in these places. I had a place at Rue Claire and Pops and over at Acme and La Rez. Justin La Rez is doing a great job. How concerned and in touch with the ingredients and the food that they're using now, that I just see it. It's a much better trend than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And these people and our cook and look at, much more as a professionally than I think it used to be.
Well, and they're paying a lot more attention to what's grown, what's local. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's a real good trend. It's a good trend for everything.
It is
business, health wise, taste wise. Just the fact how much better it tastes.
Yep.
I mean, that's probably why. My biggest is the bottom line is the taste.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to have to run to break. You are listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I'm here with my host today, Phil Campbell. I want to thank Susan Rita for helping get you here. She bumped into you at the Southern Village Farmers Market and thought you would be a great guest. And I was thrilled to have you because I haven't ever met you, and we're both from around these parts. And I feel like I kind of know everybody around here, and now I know you.
Well, it's been nice to meet you.
It is very nice. So, we're recording this on a Thursday, and you're going to leave here and head to Southern Village and sell fish and stuff. Before we get totally done with this segment, one more time, tell us where we can come and buy from you.
All right. Thursdays, we're at the Farmers Market at Southern Village from 3:30 to 6:30. On Friday, we're at Calvander. Out at the crossroads of Homestead Road and Old 86, right next to the BP station. They're from 1 to 6. And then on Saturday, excellent, and a market at the Southern States Feed Store in Pittsburgh. And that's go around the circle on 64 and take a right, and you're right downtown. It's right there.
Yeah, and what's that, 10 to 2?
10 to 2, 10 to 2.
Yep. So are you in a position to add other markets, or is this?
No, this is about as much as I can cover right now, and I haven't really thought much past this. My first goal was if I filled up 4 coolers worth of seafood to come to the area that I had reached a plateau that was good, and last week or 2 weeks ago was the first time we did that. So mm-hmm. Now I might start thinking beyond that a little, but right now I'm happy to be where I am with that and maybe start just smoothing some things out. It's not like it hadn't been smooth, but mm-hmm. just we're still new. It's only about our fourth month worth of business, and just keep working at it.
Well, do you keep a place here, too? I mean, you're not going to drive back to the beach tonight, are you?
Well, I don't keep a place, but I have a daughter that lives here. I have a mom lives here. I have a brother that lives here. I have several friends that live here. So I have been lucky enough to be invited to about any, these places.
So you come in Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I usually leave on Saturday. I usually leave on Saturday. I come in Thursday, and usually after the market on Saturday, I take off and go home.
I guess if you leave enough shrimp in the in your daughter's refrigerator, she's happy that you're there.
Yes, sometimes.
Unless she doesn't find them right away.
No, she finds them.
She does?
Loves her. She's always loved her seafood. I used to take her. She's been fishing with me since she was a little kid.
So we were touching briefly on the local chefs supporting local farmers and growers, and I like that you're bringing up North Carolina seafood. And we were out in the parking lot when you were coming in talking with Adam Rose and Dave Artigues, and you were at the Farm to Fork dinner recently.
No, they were asking me about it. I didn't make it to it.
Well, you should think about doing one of those one time.
I've been invited, and if I can get time to do it, I will.
Well, it would be good. I really thank you for coming and spending
time
with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I hope you'll come back when you in a couple of months, let us know how you're doing. And
well, I'd love to come back and keep you posted on what's happening at the coast. And I'm just happy to be back in WCHL. I've always loved this station. I don't know what I'm going to do without Woody this year, but I'll get along somehow, I guess.
We'll figure that out. Somehow they'll figure that out.
Yes, I'll
thank you,
will.
Phil.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.